The problems all over the world are truly great. And yet, those that are near to us naturally seem greater. They rise like giants that strike fear into our hearts. And we wonder what is coming on the earth and what we can expect next in our country, our cities, our schools, and our streets. But the greatest problem of all, and one which we do not generally admit, but rather tend to ignore, is one which is really basic to all the problems in the world itself. And what is this, do you ask? It is the problem of our individual relationship with God. Now, dear listening friend, this is what I wish you to consider with me today in these few moments with the book. You may be deeply concerned about the world and its national problems, but have you honestly faced and had solved for you the problem of your individual relationship with your Creator? Oh, He wants to do with you in grace, and He wants to become your Redeemer. Now, He is the one with whom you have to do. Now, should all the problems of the world and nation be solved, as they will be someday, and it won't be by man's wisdom and power, but as the Bible tells us, when the judgments of God are in the earth, then shall the inhabitants of the earth learn righteousness. Now then, and then only, when He, the Lord Jesus, whose right it is to reign, shall come and put down all enemies and reign in righteousness and peace. This is coming. But I say and repeat that when these problems are solved, it will not matter a thing to you if you have not had your personal problem solved. If you have not come to know this Savior God as your own personal Savior, the consequence is that you will die in your sins, and you'll have to spend eternity shut out from His presence forever. This need not be, and God desires that it need not be. He loves you. He desires the salvation of your soul, and your soul is immortal. Face the fact, dear friend, it will be either in heaven or hell for eternity, and where it shall be is dependent upon the solving of your problem. In the words of Jesus in Matthew 18, we read, "Verily I say unto you, except ye be converted and become as little children, ye shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven." Mark those words. It is His word. It is plain. It is absolute. And your problem can only be solved by being converted to God. Now, what does it mean to be converted? Conversion is a turning about. Now, we all, by nature, without exception, are on our own way away from God as soon as we are born. We take up with our own ideas and philosophies and traditions of men, and we deceive ourselves into reasoning the folly that there is no God, perhaps, or there is no hereafter, and there is no standard of right and wrong, and so forth. Or perhaps you may be religious, but you are trusting in your so-called church and its ordinances. Or perhaps you are depending upon doing good, or a number of other related things. But whatever it is, it's something beside God's way of conversion. In a word, it's something besides Jesus Christ. Dear friend, you're going the wrong way, if this is true. You need to be converted to God. Now, conversion is not changing your philosophies and doing better and going according to your own will and what your standard is of right or wrong, nor is it changing your religion. That will not matter. It is that which is wrought within you. And we see this illustrated for us in the Corinthians in the first epistle in chapter 6, and also in the Thessalonians in the first epistle at chapter 1. I would ask that you notice this with me today. First, in 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 9, notice what we read. "Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor railers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. Yes, there is such a thing as sin. We have a list of sin here. Basically, sin is doing man's own will. And from the heart, all these things that we have read of proceed. And those who are characterized by such, who have not been converted from that condition, shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Now, the Corinthians, to whom Paul writes, had been guilty of these various things. He says, such were some of you. Oh, how true it is of all of us. There is none righteous, no, not one. And we have been guilty of doing many things according to the standard of the Word of God that are sinful. Such were some of you. But something happened. We read, but ye are washed, but ye are sanctified, but ye are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. What had come in? Well, the gospel of God's grace had come to Corinth, and the message of salvation had brought a change, a conversion to God. They were washed from the filth of their sins by the blood of Jesus Christ and through the influence of the Word of God that cleanses. They were sanctified, that is, they were set apart to God by the blood of His cross. Instead of belonging to the world and in company with those who are heading the wrong direction, they are now turned about and belong to the people of God. They become members of His body, the members of the body of Christ, the church for which He died. They belong to Him. But ye are justified. That means being cleared from all guilt. The guilt of sin has to be pardoned, or else there is eternal banishment from God's presence. Now, the Lord Jesus Christ, the name that means Savior, is the one who justifies freely by His grace when we put our trust in Him. He died for sinners. He shed His blood to cleanse from sin, and in order to purchase us to belong to Him, in the name of the Lord Jesus, we are washed and sanctified and justified, and also by the Spirit of our God. That is, it is a divine work. The Spirit of God has come into the world to convict us of our need and to point us to the Savior. In His precious word, which He uses, we find cleansing. We find sanctification. We are justified. So the Corinthians, at one time, indeed, were going the wrong way. They were in a wrong condition. They were using their own philosophies and going by their own feelings. They had no standard of right and wrong. But when faced up with the truth of God, they came to repentance, and they were converted to God. Notice also, if you will, in connection with the Thessalonians, Paul likewise was used of God to bring the gospel to them. His message of salvation to a world that is needy. The gospel came unto them not only in word only, he said, but in power and in the Holy Ghost. The Spirit of God, again, is in the world to convict of sin. You know, He would desire to bring you to conviction, to realize your need, to face your problem, that if you are not converted to God, you are at odds with Him. You are still against Him. Jesus Himself said, he that is not with me is against me. And if you're not converted to God, you're going the wrong way. Now, you may be religious. You may be sincere in your religion. But does your religion compare with the truth of God? Or is it in decided contrast to it? Are you seeking to do something for your eternal salvation? Are you seeking to turn over new leaves? Are you trying to keep ordinances? Are you seeking to take your instruction from the church as an authority? Oh, beloved friend, the only authority we have is the Word of God. The only instruction that we are to follow is what that Word declares. And the Lord Jesus said, except ye be converted and become as little children. The thought of becoming as little children is simply this, that a child will accept what it hears, and in humility bow to it, easily led. Oh, how we ought to accept what we hear from God's Word, recognize it as the authority with which He speaks to us, and desires us to bow to him and be blessed. Now, except we become as little children and open our ears and in humility accept what he says, well, we will not be converted. But we must come into that place where we will receive the word of God, and thus we shall be blessed. Now, the word came to the Thessalonians not only in word but in power. The Spirit of God would take the word, convict you, and then convert you. We're converted by the word of God. You notice this is what the apostle writes in verse 6. He says, ye became followers of us and of the Lord, having received the word. It is the word by which we're born again. It's the word that cleanses. It's the word that sanctifies us. It is the word believed in the power of the Spirit of God that justifies us. In a word, it is the word that converts us to God. And you know, it says here, with the joy of the Holy Ghost. There's no joy in doing your own will, and you know it. There's no joy in formal, empty, religious ceremony, and you know it. There is joy only in that which is real and vital. There is joy only in that which is divine, that which is in connection with the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, in connection with the life that he gives. The life that he gives is eternal life. It is that which, when we receive, we shall never perish. It secures our future. But it is also that which gives us a present portion of joy and hope even now. Let me ask, do you have this portion? Are you converted to God? Do you know him as your personal Savior? We read that there are three things that characterize the Thessalonians and which speak of their conversion to God. First, in verse 9, ye turn to God from idols. That's what conversion is. A man who is in his sin, going away from God, going the wrong way, whether he is religious or whether he is just simply profane, and he is willful, and he has no religion but his own philosophy, he's going away from God. Being converted to God means that one turns to God from his idols. Again, I say an idol, anything, any idea, a person perhaps, any pursuit, any material possession, any spiritual thought that is wrong, any idol is that which keeps you from Christ. Now you turn to God from idols. Are you not attracted by God and his love? He loves you. It is the goodness of God that would bring you to repentance. He so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. This is the message that the apostle brought to the Thessalonians. It's the message of Christ who died for our sins, our follies, our wickedness, our uncleanness. Look to the cross, beloved friend, and see him hanging there for you. See the blood coming from the wounds in his hands and feet, and realize that that precious blood was shed that you might be cleansed from your sins, that you might be set apart to God and belong to him, to be converted to him, that you might be justified, that is, cleared from all your guilt. Will you see him there, dying for you? He did die for you if you will have him. He is a substitute for all who will receive him. But you must come to him. You must realize your need. You must be convicted of your need, your problem, and then be converted to him. The Thessalonians turned to God from idols. Second, to serve the living and the true God. There is only one true God, and he is the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God. There is God the Father, there is God the Son, there is God the Holy Spirit. The Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. The Spirit of God has come to bring forth in conviction the word that you might face your problem and be blessed. And then when we come to him and come to know him as a Savior God, we want to serve him. Oh, his love produces love in our hearts. When we trust him as Savior, the Spirit of God sheds the love of God abroad in our hearts. And you possess the Spirit of God if you have trusted him. You have true love, then, whereby you can serve God acceptably with godly fear. You can be of service to mankind around you. You must have this love, however, before this is true. But here the Thessalonians turn to God from idols. There's their conversion. To serve the living and true God. There's their occupation. And then to wait for his Son from heaven. There's their expectation. Is this true of you? Do you know what it means to be converted in this respect? Have you turned to God from your idols? Are you serving this one out of love for what he has done for you? And are you waiting for his Son from heaven? He's coming. He may come even today. It is his promise, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. This is the hope, the true hope, the sure expectancy of those who are converted to God. We're going to see him. He's coming to the air. We're going to meet him there, and he will usher us into the Father's house to be forever with the Lord. This is what it means to be converted to God. God grant today that you will face your problem of conversion to God, that you will allow him to bring you to himself now. Trust him as your Savior. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved.